Okay, so last time we were discussing the Avnei Nezer, and he had a very complicated lumdis about Reb Shimon. I just want to say it over one more time, because I think I may have gotten confused, and after going over it again, I think I can say it more concisely, and then we'll go through the rest of his points. So his point is like this. He says, Reb Shimon says, Mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. Right? So normally, being a chabur, it should be killed, it should be positive, but Mekalkel b'chabura, Reb Shimon holds is chayav. Why mid itzrich kar l'mishrei mila b'Shabbos? Because we have to have a special drasha to tell you that mila is mutar on Shabbos, right? Otherwise, mila would have been aser. Aye, but it's a kilkul b'chabura. So you learn that kilkul b'chabura is chayev from the fact that the Torah had to matar it. He says, wait a minute, maybe the Torah needed to matar it because maybe mekalkul b'chabura is enachinami is potter, but you have to matar mila b'Shabbos because of the mitzitza. Why? Because the Baal Amar and the Rashba would have said, right, if ishtabe chamim, if the water that spills for the bris mila before the mila, and you need to have hot water to do the mila for whatever reason, and that's ma'akiv, you really need it for pikach nefesh purposes, the Baal Amar and the Rashba would say, don't do the mila, right, because you will have to mechal Shabbos afterwards, even though it'll be pikach nefesh. Even you're not allowed to bring yourself into a case of pikach nefesh if you could push it off till after Shabbos. And so he says, maybe you would have to, the Torah would have to teach me that mila b'Shabbos is mutter. Not because the mila itself is a problem, because the Baal Amar is chashash for the mitzitza afterwards. He says, no. Because the Torah would never have had a matir, the mitzitza, right? He says, right? How does Rav Shimon know that Mekal Gvachor is, right? That's his cheshbin. And you see that the Torah was aware of the mitzitza, and that's why the Torah had a matir in the mitzitza. He says, no. Because if Mekal Gvachor would have been putter, right, the Torah would never have had a matir the mitzitza. Why? Because you could have always done, if mitzitza was, you could have always done the mila right before the end of Shabbos, it'll still be vayom, and do the mitzitza right after Shabbos. Right? There's no reason it needs to be in the same day. You could have done that, right? And since you could have done that, the Torah would have never had a matir the mila because of the mitzitza, because the mitzitza would never be necessary. Ah, and then he goes on a whole lumdis, but not everyone would be able to be mitzamtzim. Some people would not be able to do that. He goes, ah, but because some people could, therefore if you can't, you can do tashlumin the next day. Right? He has this whole lumdis from Chagiga, that when Chagiga is possible to do on one day, then, and you were not able to, there's tashlumin. If Chagiga was not being able to be done that day, then it's not tashlumin. Right, so he says, oh, those people who could mitzamtzim should mitzamtzim, and those people who couldn't mitzamtzim wouldn't do it on Shabbos, they would do it the next day because it's tashlum. That's his right from Chagiga. So you would never have needed the Torah to matter mila because of the mitzitza, because he could have done the mitzitza in this wacky way. But since the Torah was matter the mila, it must be because the Kalkum Chabur is chayv. The whole point is to show that at least the Torah is aware of mitzitza. Fine. So that I think that's his lumdis. It's a little around the back. But fine. So now, if you look in Sif Katan Vav, it's on page 153 in the Avnei Nezer. He says, so for Rav Papa, who said, Hayom Nadolomayit Sakanu Mavrinanlay, it sounds like it's a sakana. I mean, it certainly is a sakana. That sounds like it is a sakana. Whether it's something else or not is a question. So he says, Dene Dehadar Rav Papa Mukhachti Lav Mishum Sakana Lo Hayashu Mitzvah Mitzitza. He says, from Rav Papa, it sounds like if there wouldn't have been a sakana, you wouldn't do mitzitza at all. Once there's a sakana, mitzitza gets in through the back door. Once, because there's a sakana, and mitzitza needs to alleviate that, mitzitza becomes part of the mitzvah. Okay, that's a little bit strange, but he has a riot. The dom of the mashukasu betosos yishanim ksuvus lamed aleph amed aleph. They had to esher la achila b'lo agaba. Right, they're trying to figure out if you can eat something. Right, they want to know, are you chayav for eating that which is usher, if you need to do gneiv in the process, which is their kimla b'drabamine, right? He said, well, because whatever the case there was, I don't recall precisely, I'm sorry, is you had to pick up the food first to eat it. So if you had to pick up the food first to eat it, so you picked it up first, and you did the gneiva, and then you ate it, and then you did the maisa iser, right? So it's not kimla b'drabamine. So he says, d'ibai gachin v'achil, but no, sorry, d'ibai gachin v'achil, you could have eaten it. You could have laid down on the floor and eaten it, right? You didn't have to pick it up. Shim loya, so it sounds, so Tosfos Yonim says, Shim loya efshar la'achila b'lo hagba, but let's say you couldn't eat it without picking it up. Hayamat chila iser mishas ha'agba. Benen Achinami, the Isra Achila would have started from the Shas HaGabaha. Right? Whatever is, right? The Kevan, he explains it. The Kevan Sheyeshar Belo HaGabaha, Kshamra Torah Lo Tochal, Kilo Amra Lo Tagabiya Vetochal. Or if the only way to eat it is by picking it up, then picking it up becomes part of the Isra Achila. So Achinami, Kevan Sheyeshar Lamila, Belo Metzitza, Vi Lava Metzitza, Haya Osir Lo Mulasaki Natinok, Kshamra Torah Lo Mul Kilo Amra Moho Motots. Okay, so that which is necessary to perform the mitzvah, because otherwise the mitzvah would not have been possible at all, becomes part of the mitzvah. Okay, so you think it's part of the mitzvah. Fine. That one is Rayas. That becomes part of the mitzvah. And he continues on along the lines, I'm just going to skip around, just along some of the lines that we've been discussing. We don't have to see every single post, like say every single same thing. I'm trying to highlight some of the differences or the interesting parts. So if you look at the next page, on the Simen Katan Yud Ches, he says, "V'hinei b'sifrei ha-kabbalah." We didn't discuss the kabbalistic elements of this, so we'll have Avdei Nezer tell us what they are. Yish kavanos mila gam b'mitzitza b'likutei Torah v'tami ha-mitzvus u'b'sifrei ha-kanesh al-tami ha-mitzvus. V'od yoter shebetibikunei ha-zorah katov v'char b'takut shabricho yisbarach v'yizala pipios l'kabel milo kriya mitzitza. Which, so whatever the kabbalistic significance is relevant in three aspects of mila mitzitza and priya mitzitza. U'b'shari oras har hey b'gimel pam amileim shebimizmor min ha-meitzar. Right, min ha-meitzar karati ha-nahal. We said yesterday. Right, Amilam. Sorry, mina lufisha bris milik shadam kores aor lo shnasas amila begimel drachem krisas aor lo himila shina priyas lishes mitzitza. Right, the Amilam three times can I get the three aspects of mila? Ach kolos shonas elu nuchal lefaris gam lufi perish abeis. He goes, well, it could be either it's really part of the mitzvah or it's only mishum sakana. He goes, it could also be only mishum the ein chiyuv b'mitzitza machmas mitzvah mila. Ach yashet tzarich lemtzos mishum sakana mila nasas mitzvah mila. Is it because it's really, really part of the mitzvah, or it only gets in through the back door because it's part of a sakana? So you can read it, and he says you can read some of those in different ways. So in Yud Tes, now he deals with some of the historical issue. So he continues. In the Torah it means matzot. Since in the time of Matan Torah that's the way it was done, then that's the way it was. That's as if the Torah said do it that way. Right? We'll agree. And achinami that now there's no problem. We have to do the mitzvah meal like it was given. So he's assuming a lot of things there. He's assuming that enachinami that now there might not be a sakana, but because there was a sakana in Matan Torah, it became part of the mitzvah. Matan Torah is part of the mitzvah. He says not only did it become part of the mitzvah of Matan Torah because of the sakana that existed in Matan Torah, which may, he's, if we agree, doesn't exist today. The tzura in which it was done in Matan Torah is the defining tzura in which it has to be done today, which is a lot more controversial, I think. Fine. We have to find that which was called an Ezov at the time of Matan Torah. The fact that something's called different today doesn't matter.
Doesn't the fact that there might not be a sakana actually undo his entire proof? Right. The whole proof was that it comes from the idea that the Gineva starts, or the Achila, sorry, starts at the time you pick it up because you couldn't have done it without picking it up. Now,
well, the argument, yeah.
So he's saying the mitzitza is part of the mitzvah because it's you can't have done it without it, essentially. But now you can do it without it because there's no sakana.
No,
so, changing the matzah.
No, so he's saying everyone agrees there was a sakana then. Now there may not be a sakana, right?
Right.
So then it became part of the mitzvah. So whatever became part of the mitzvah, Matan Torah is koveya.
But that's not the meaning. If the proof is from something where it's not like an essential part of the act, except in a specific case, and then he's saying, and since at the time is part of the act, forever it's now part of the mitzvah.
Yeah, because we say that the Chazon Ish says it by treifas, or Maisha says it by treifas also. That which was a treif at the time of Matan Torah becomes a treif olam vayim. Whatever was part of the mitzvah, however the mitzvah was defined at the time of Matan Torah is the way it's defined, period. So he says here, that part of the argument I think makes sense. That if it was got in as part of the mitzvah at the time of Matan Torah, then it's part of the mitzvah. But even if so, does it necessarily the tzura that the mitzvah, that it had to be done? I think even if you accept my premise, which you don't necessarily, you don't have to accept his premise that the tzura has to be in a certain way. You have to have mitzitza, and maybe you have to be, and so it could be that Okay, so it could be. Let's give a. Let's justify the Avnei Nezer for a minute. It could be that he's saying no. Really, it was Sakana Time Matan. Not no. Yes, it was. Sorry, it was Sakana Time Matan Torah, and therefore was part of the mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? To be motzi dam emakom sharachokim. So today also you have to be motzi dam emakom sharachokim. And this tube, this svog, and schuchis don't do that. You have to be motzi dam emakom sharachokim, and so you have to use bepeh because you're out of. The tzur isn't that it has to be bepeh. It has to be emakom sharachokim. Because that was the geder of the mitzvah that got him through the back door. So long as you can be motzi dama, he wants you to be motzi dama kamas rachokim, and back in his day you couldn't do that without a pet. So I'm going to say that that's what he's saying, because otherwise I don't really understand. I don't know why this specific matter, that was the geder, so that's the geder. I can see that. Fine, and if you can kafav, lo damilor chitzas tinok, right, what about bathing the child? That was also done in the time of Torah. How to bathe the child? In the Beis Yosef already says we don't do that. לא דמי חיזה סטינוק שמצין בגמרת כל מילה ואחר מילה בזמן זה אין ברוך חצים ונאמר גם כן שכוונס התורה היה לרחוץ why not say the same argument by רחיצה לא דמי דה רחיצה אינו מעניין מילה כלל it has nothing to do with מילה okay in the Ron already which he didn't have but the Ron didn't have a half a mina about right that the רחיצה סטינוק was part of לא סילג ידה from the מילה right לגבי ציסים שאינו מעקבנס המילה on Shabbos he only had a suffix by מציצה because And it makes a little bit of sense. It's more part of the milah than that. But yes, lo dum. V'lo sayach lemer so v'klal mitzvah milahi. V'lo dami la'agba v'achilus v'magbiya k'dei le'echo. Okay. He says, no, lo yitachin. Fine. So that's according to the first way if it's part of the mitzvah. So look, let's go down to Kaf Gimel. V'ach lefit ha'masheni, that it's only mishem sakana. Miu asher yesh bo shorish v'nitzot Yisrael v'amdu avos av har Sinai sh'yigra b'no m'mitzvas mitzitza asher m'kubalim kosu sodos naroz echu matzil nefesh Yisrael mikol ra and let's say it's not necessary. It's not necessary at all. Right? It's only mishum sakana. And today is no sakana. Who wouldn't want all these Kabbalistic schoolists? What kind of person wouldn't want that? V'ein laskech masher omrim sh'apesha mo'al yazek kisluchei mitzvah in the nizokin. Not true. Right? So he says, even if it's not necessary, you should still do it. It has good alpi kabbalah, it's important. And if you look in kafdalid, so omnam binin im yuchal acher limtos b'shabbos, so, okay, fine, if it's part of the milah, right? So then, it'll have nafkaminas for how many people, if it's part of the mitzvah, right? So then more than one person necessarily might be able to do it on Shabbos, right? You have to cheshbon out. Omnam binin im yuchal acher limtos b'shabbos, esher di shlochos l'per shoshen lifi divrem, she'in sekon b'zvan z'v'n niyasam etzisa rakel dekli, skuchis v'svog, maybe because of the, you will have nafkaminas whether you'll allow a third party to do it or not. Right? Because if it was only us or mishum sarkana, right, and now there's no sarkana, but we're only doing it because it's part of the mitzvah, we're going to have the same person who did the mitzvah do it. We're not going to let a third party involved. So he says, maybe you have to be machmir for that opinion. That you shouldn't have a third person or a second person doing it. Do the mitzvah. Fine. So that's the Avnei Nezer. His main thrust was the lumdus from Reb Shimon, and then he gets in through the back door, and then he says, yeah, it'll have differences for if he gets in through the back door, what'll be the nachmir? That's fine. So the next one we see is the Maharam Shik. He was a Talmud of Chasam Sofer, who was vehemently opposed to accepting the fact that Chasam Sofer ever allowed using a svog, and even if he did, it was only b'makom matzorech, and only there where they were going to aser mila legamrei without the svog, they wouldn't have mila at all. But otherwise, definitely always have gumpeh. And it's pretty much many of the same arguments.
How do we answer his claim that my shluchei mitzvah ain't mizakin?
Oh, so in the last dialogue, there was a whole article by Rabbi Eliyahu Feldman, one of Aaron Feldman's sons, about the shluchei mitzvah in Nizokim, b'makom shchiyah hazeika, not shchiyah hazeika, and is it a guarantee or is it only hanhaga? I mean, it might not be a haftach, it might be a hanhaga. We treat it as if in Nizokim, therefore we have to continue to act in a certain way.
So would he maybe take back what he said now?
Oh, so that's the second half of the shiur today. We'll talk about science. Is anyone nizok? Is no one nizok? We'll see. But I think he can be yashiv that it's not necessarily 100% ironclad haftacha, but you have to act as if it is haftacha.
What I'm saying is, would he?
Okay, so if you look in the Maram Shik, Yeredeya Reish Mem Dalid, so it's just, the question is just interesting. Michtavu kibalti, val she'ilasa she'bihihilasa asu takana shelo limtzos. Right, they made a takana nachdu mitzitza. Umalasa and they were yahir moel v'adata lo michul lo limtzos v'nafshav v'shaylasa imil po limtzos imutav lo shalei kabal ha-mitzas mil v'yad moel atlam o yomul v'lo yimtzos akad nashan b'kitzar, right? Should he continue? He's a mo'al. So should he just not do any milas anymore because it's not being done correctly, or should he do it? So timhani alashon ma'alaso shekata shasu takana davar ze kazei kare takana takana levavata levitzvah is lav shmei takana. Fine. So he goes through and goes, so the first point is, how can you tell me there's no sakana? You can't prove a negative. Okay? If you look in the next paragraph here in the left column, Aval different chazal mi'studim harbe mehem al halachal moshe mi'sinai ish mi'pi'ish al moshe rabbeinu levashalom asher kol divrei elokeinu yakum la'olam ve'ech nevatal divrei elokim chayim ve'efshu shu halachal moshe mi'sinai. Maybe it teaches halachal moshe mi'sinai, and how do you know you can't mevatal it, and that's just the way life is, and it's halachal moshe mi'sinai. And he repeats it again. So paragraphs, the second last paragraph on the bottom, the chitema du'ula nishtanu ha'itim ve'ata leika sakana. Maybe now there's no sakana. Sharik v'chamad varim asinu kan shenishtanu ha'itim. Right? That happens. We agree. We accept the premise of nishtanu ha'tvayim to allow or to change halacha because the mitzvah has changed. So halacha doesn't change, but the mitzvah changes, and therefore the factors that play into the halacha change. Ayin tells us about the zara shenishtanu ha'itim came back from. We're in the answer. The dvarim harbe shenishtanu ha'inyin say gam kein einu dim kein eight. You can't say nishtanu atvayim by two places. But davarshu alachol moshe mi'sinai, you can't say, right? It's alachol moshe mi'sinai, you can't say nishtanu atvayim, and this is tak alachol moshe mi'sinai. And where's bees? Where'd bees go? What's bees? Sorry. Oh, Vashenis, sorry, he calls it Aleph and then Vashenis. The Bedin Torah is in the Chazaka, we're holding their term, Yustanim al Ruba of the Chazaka. Fine, okay, a second. But the fact is, he's one of the first, or the only first, who calls Metzitza halachal moshe mi'sinai, which gives it a lot more part of the mitzvah than anybody else called it before, whether it's part of the mitzvah or not part of the mitzvah, Torah is aware of it or not aware of it. On the halachal moshe mi'sinai. I don't know. He doesn't bring a right.
Where does he have the idea that we don't say Yishtanu HaTvayim for Halachal Moshe Mi'sinai?
He just says Lo Yitachin. And you read it. Medavar Shu Halachal Moshe Mi'sinai Yi Efshar Lomar Shinu Yitim Shadivar Elokeinu Kaim La'olam V'yem Kein Kevin Shinim Sar Lanu Al Pi Hashem L'Kol Azman Yukol Makomos Kim Vor Bim Komos Harap Him Meheri Tesi Im Kein Hashem Hu HaYodea Im Ye'atit Shishtanu HaYitim Ech Masar Kadosh Baruch Hu Davar Zeh Halachal Moshe Mi'sinai La'esar La'olam. Why would Hashem have given halachah machine say is always binding? So why would he have done this if he knew that the nature would change? Okay.
Does he have another example in which the entire din would be
Treifus? Right, Treifus. You have to explain like that because otherwise, we have Treifus that we have animals that die from a lot different type of things, and we have animals that live with the Yuchas Treifus. Okay. So no. Whatever it was, but then. That's halachal moshe mi'sinai, and so you can't say nishtanu atvayim. That's the din, whether you like it or not. That's different, though, than saying. So you have to read this more carefully to figure out what's his argument. His argument is, there's still a sakana because halachal moshe mi'sinai is a sakana? I don't think he means halachal moshe mi'sinai is that there's always a sakana. Right? Because. That's not the same by treifus. You're not saying halacha moshe mi'sinai, these yuchas treifus are going to die. That's not true. It's not true. You can't take a halacha mitzis. The halacha is that this is the din that these are yuchas treifus and you can't eat them. And the halacha moshe mi'sinai is this is mitzitza because it's a sakana. But once it causes a sakana, not because it's a sakana. Halacha moshe mi'sinai is you do it. There's no more sakana. Doesn't make a difference. There's no more. The animals don't die. You know. I think that's what he has to be saying. You can't. The halacha moshe mi'sinai can't be on the mitzis. That just seems. But I don't think he's saying that. So just read the last paragraph of the tshuva, because here omnam. See, a lot of molim had this problem now. Do they do the mila at all? Right? Because if they didn't do the mila, so who was going to do the mila? Either the mila wouldn't be done, or some reform person might do the mila in a lot of these places, and that may or may not be good, especially if the reform people aren't Jewish, which can happen, because if they're going to rule, I don't know when patrilineal descent became an issue, but in theory this could be a problem. I have no idea. This may be completely historically inaccurate. But Yisdam, you wouldn't want Machal Shabbos to do your mila. So Amna Mafilu Neima Kmoshevi. I think he's referring to you, to the Shoel. The Michtav Anal the Eagle and Meimer Direct Takana Teknu Chazal Mishum Chasha Sakana Shahaya. Right? Teknu Kain LaOlam. So maybe it was only Takana Mishum Sakana. Gam Kenir the Adif Levatel Mitzvahs Mila milichnos bin yinze lamu volimtos. Better not do the mila at all. V'nei den lahavi raya mehad amru orel. Okay, because then he has other rayas to do it, but that's his psak halacha. Let's leave the reasoning aside. His halacha, because it's not our issue. But his psak is don't do the mila at all. Let someone else do it, and if they don't do it, that's their problem, and you have to do it properly. And if you can't do it properly, don't do it at all. Which is a theme that arises a lot in some of the later tshuvos. Sidihudi al-Asad has a very similar tshuva where he has more of the same rayas. You can read it if you want. Let's just skip it so we make sure we get to the science part. Maybe we'll get back to it. Sorry, there's a star on here. Why is there a star? That's interesting. I was trying to find it. So if you look on page Pehei, it just relates to an issue that we talked about earlier. Pehei, it's on the left column, the last paragraph on the pages of Va'od. He's dealing just with the issue of Mifkad Pocket in the Rambam. Right, we talked about that. For the Rambam, it's Dash. So why the Gemara says, oh, you would have had a Havamin in Mifkad Pocket, Kamashalan Chibur Mechbar. But for the Rambam, it would have been Dash regardless. So what's the difference? Right? If the issue is Dash, so what's the difference? So he gives an answer. So we brought it up, so you should see it. Right, chovel that you actually kill someone, or chovel where you actually choke someone, then you're chayv mishum shochet, but otherwise you're chayv mishum dash. Hari Ashkan b'Shabbes Ayin Hei Gabi Chilazon Rabbi Yehuda Chayav Apotzei Mishum Mefarek Apa Gam Dedav Mifkad Pocket Kmo Shekosu Tosu Sham Ubiksubus. Right, Mikol Mekom Mefareki Im Kain My Mashnei Ashastet. The havamina haidam mila mifkat pocket appears Rashi for leka iser torah lahachi shari. Right, for the Rambam, what's the havamina dam mifkat pocket? Because it would have been dash mimonoshach. The hal Rambam mifarik umichal shabbes aleya korach mishum sakanahu vadrikushi leduchta pshita. May says, no, it must be because it's a sakana, because otherwise there's no havamina that would have been mutter. Right, it's clear he wants a proof from that it's clear that it would have been a sakana. That's how he wants to read that Gemara. That Gemara was, maybe there's less of a sakana, no, kamashmalan, there's a serious sakana. It has nothing to do with the level of Isser, it has to do with the sakana, because for the Rambam, there's no, right? It's just funny. We had another teretz in it. What was the other teretz? Dam that would have come out on its own versus dam that would not have come out on its own, wants to make the whole. Right? And Achanami wants to make the whole, does Rambam may have required a removing dam that would not have come out on its own would be daraisa. If the dam would have come out on its own, it would have only been a drabanan. Right? He's saying no. And the chanami would have been a daraisa in both cases. So you can't read that Gemara. They're talking about level of isser. Must be talking about level of sakana. You would have thought if there's less of a sakana, dam if got pocket, so it's less of a level of sakana. Kamash well, it's a serious sakana. Because you can't be talking about the level of isser, because it's clearly usser. Okay. This is interesting car. Just to dealt with the point you mean. Okay, so let's go to a different Malkiel. So he has two tubas on the topic. The first one isn't relevant really, but it's just fun. So I brought it here. You can look at it if you want. We just read the question just to see what they were dealing with a little bit. We're not going to see the answer. So higiani kuntraso hayak kuntraso hayakar nakam brit v'rehi amurbo v'istomamti lekol ha'shmu asher ibeir ve'im v'Yisrael yikadavar hazeh shizal zo mitzvah smilak doshas l'asos ha'bashalo bezmana. They're going to postpone the Mila to a Geisha holiday. So people are off from work. So people do this all the time nowadays. They do the Mila on Sunday. To avoid having, not necessarily from people, but in the last from all of them, Milas are on Sundays. So to avoid, to get more people. Okay. They have a guy be the Sandok. V'gam... V'nimtza sham ba'ol asher hu malo yiladim al birkei notzri v'gam meisis lichos amil yom edem k'dei lahar bo tzcharo. Okay, and he wants to argue on all these things, and he says this is terrible, terrible, terrible. All these things are terrible. We shouldn't be done for the mila. We should do it on the eighth day, and we definitely should have a goy be the sandak. The sandak has a lot of hashpa on the child, whatever that means, and he gets all sorts of brachas. And yeah, okay. So okay, just you should see what they're dealing with. When they're now, then the next tshuva, what about, there's a mechona, here's, so some peizayin. Alvar shechavetz kvod alad asati b'davar mechona, sheimtziu limtzos badmei amila laman lo yitzarchu limtzos bepeh. Right? Asher das arofim sheefshu sheyazik la'anim ol imotzi jish lo eiza machla. right? The gufa shapive no naki karoi v'shalachli tumuna v'samachona. Right? So you have to just want to see the context of what he's talking, what kind of people he's dealing with, and so fine. So he says, yeah, Taka, they talked about this in the generations before us. Okay. So he says, you can only call something Shinui Teva if you see it. Right? It has to be something that you see is a problem. That you see is no longer a problem. So let's just see, right? I guess we'll just see. So like the third line here. Vashagat of Magen Avram is seen to find Gimel Sheish Avram Shnei Avram B'Shashu Sakan of Atah Nishtan Atava. Right, the Magen Avram is famous Shita that fish and meat are no longer a Sakan because Nishtan was fine. Mikom Magam Chalila Laisei Shem Lasos Maisei Bezal Pi Divrei Arofim Negat Divrei Mefores B'Shas. The Magen Avram V'Atosvis Kosvi Dezerak V'Davar Shanu Roim Be'inein Nishtan Atava. Kmo Parash Yoledes Kodem Gimel Shanim Aval Metzitza Kevan She'Osir Lanu Levatla Im Kain Adayin Lo Karashi Yimol Uvlo Yim Tzitzu. Because he's not allowed to mevatel it, so you never have a case. You'll never have cases of mila below mitzitza, right? And so you won't know that there's no sakana. Okay. V'achin kari echad oshnaim ein dani mizal achal. Even if some people will do it, you can't bring a raya from a handful of people. The adua de besakana chashin lafla miyuta, right? Fine. Okay, fine. With the adua besakana chayav, the gamin lado mishari makos lemakas mila. You can't learn from other machlos to mila. Fresh rabbi rofe modim shiotem tov lahosi dam memaka acharam shem tizba pem mazekas. Mazek chalil also davar negam first b'shas. And then the next word on the first word on the line here is b'shas. I think it's a completely different line than everybody else, and I think this is why it's fascinating. He says u'b'shas gufa muchach shayarak chashas sakana v'lo sakana v'dais. He goes, even the time of the Gemara, this wasn't a really a danger. It was a far-off danger. It wasn't really, 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 really that dangerous. But afal picha in tiknu. So today also it's not so dangerous. No different. So what's his raya? It's fascinating, right? It's completely off. Everyone says, oh, it's a terrible sakana. You have to do mishum sakana. He says, yeah, but you have to do mishum sakana. But there's no difference in the level of sakana that existed in his time than in time matan tarif. He says he has rayas for this. Ubishas gufa muchach shayar chashash sakana v'losakana v'dais. Make it amirim b'shabes. Hay umna dolo mayik sakana huma avrinam lay. Right? He goes, think about it. Pshita. Midikami chachalish alay hashab to sakana hu. Mao de tema hadam ifkat pagit kam mashmal chibur mechbar. V'dumi di explains v'kamen v'asplains v'kamen ki lovit sakana hu af hachanami ki lovit sakana hu. Right? We saw that. V'ilu hayta sakana brura. Lama la hashas lavi rayas lese. Halo le'inayim yirush hayelish lo matzitzu damo yomus. The guy might come or my friend lay. Are you horrid nefesh be a dying? Came in Shimbalo, so the heavy ola de sakana. Vilo masat slatilami sakana. What? You have to tell me my friend lay? He just killed a baby! Pashut, why does the Gemara have to tell you that? Right? Okay, is he really chayiv? We're not chayiv. Okay, okay, is he really gonna be chayiv? Not gonna be chayiv. He's a Ritzayach. Okay. If you keep going down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 15 lines from the bottom, last line, the word on the left is Ve'al Karchach Tzarech Lomar. It says Ve'akzal. Shehaitarak Chashash Sakana. Ve'rov Pe'amim Hayachayach Belo Metzitza. Ve'lazek HaMashmel and Rav Papadam Avrinan Lahamoa Elim Lo Matzatz Ve'huchrach Lo Chiyach Samei HaMishnah. Ve'efshar Gam Bezmanam Hayu Eiz Anashim Sh'amru Sh'ein Tzarech Limitzotz. You're not choishish for that kind of a sakana? Yeah, you never saw a case. But Chazal told you it's dangerous, so you never saw a case. But it's really, there's a danger, it's just not prevalent. You have to be choishish for it anyway, and if you don't, we fire you. But not because you actually, the baby's going to die. Just, even back in the day, it wasn't so sakana. I think it's a good raya. Think about why does the Gemara have to tell you that? It should have been obvious if it was such a terrible sakana. Okay. He says, he has more rayas. He says, and what's, we said, well, what's mitzitza? Mitzitza is chavala, it's dash. He says, no, everything's only nisad rabbanan. They only allowed an nisad rabbanan. They never allowed an nisad daraisa. We kept saying it's nisad daraisa. We come to chalal el shavasa, right? Pashuk shat in the Gemara, it's a daraisa. He's going to try to prove that from every place in the Gemara he could prove that it's only a rabbanan. He says, if you just keep looking, we'll read some of them. Ve'od nira lochich shegam chazal lo chasmer zol sakana gemura. Dehari af idam chibur mechbar mikol makom lo havi rak melacha drabanan. Dehar bechovel ba'inan sheyitzarich ledamo. For the Rambam, right? If chovel is only chayav when you need the blood. If you don't need the blood, it's a drabanan. So if you don't need the blood here, it's a drabanan. It is the Rambam who normally holds melacha sheyitzarich ledamo is chayav. Here you need it. Fine. keeps going. If you look at the next page, right, he tries to bring very, very dachistic rights that only this is Rabbanan. And they only mocked this is Rabbanan because it wasn't very likely. Right, how did you have to do shinuim? Why did you have to do shinuim? The next paragraph, page 126, the bottom paragraph, V'od yesh lo din bezeh dehad gabi cholev matzin b'ksuvis shim yonek b'fiv ha'me yifar kelachar yad. Right, ksuvis taf samech. Right, they had someone who needed to be, he was goneach milibo, some type of a cough, some type of respiratory condition, and he had to drink the chalav directly from the A's. They said, oh, if you drink it directly from the A's, that's nesed rabbanon, because you're yonek b'peh. Right, to be sochet the milk from the A's, b'peh, it's a drabanan. That's not the normal way to get things out, to remove substances, to squeeze things out. You squeeze pears, you squeeze with your hands, not with your mouth. It should be a drabanan. Okay, now, then he says, well, maybe this is taka normal to do it, but they would be bad if it's no other. Okay, he deals with that. Alkopanim, next paragraph, Hachakim Sugin, the Beloved Seeds, Allah, have a rach chash, sakana vlo sakana gemuro. Right? It was even the time of the Gemara. Vim kain min dali lomar shnishtanu atavayim beze, da'agam atamo dimarofim shilif, amim maybe a metis at well as God, maybe sometimes it's helpful. Vlazet tignu chazal limsas bekol milim shim shachash sakana. Right? Oh, and he already had chidushay aran. He says he already was misupuk. Okay, he says the ran was misupuk, so. And therefore, we have to be choshes l'chomer. Fine. He actually had he's more recent, so he already had this chidushay haran on Shabbos. Okay, so let's go to fine. So I thought his approach is completely different from everybody else. Although he's trying to defend mitzitza, he's taking the completely opposite perspective. I just thought that was interesting. Fine. So if you look at the next paragraph, achin limtos they clean. You're only studying the shari. Use whatever you want. The halon iskar b'shashim says pepe. Says mayitz, it works. He says nah. The mole's job is just to make sure that mitzitza gets done. And he says, it's mutter. You can use whatever means you want as long as you accomplish that whichever you need to accomplish. But he says, there's no real problem to do to use any other method. Fine. So that's a different book here. Then we'll get to Rosh Hashanah Rafael Hirsch. She's the last Meir Malkum here. And I was actually shocked to read the first Tshuva because I was never familiar. I never saw it inside. Everyone says Rosh Hashanah Rafael Hirsch is the one who promulgated using the tube, right? Or the glass pipette or whatever it is. It's really, I should have brought it. I bring it once. I have it downstairs. It's just a vacuum container. You ever throw blood? When you get like a blood test, right? So you put the butterfly, the needle in your arm, right? And there's a little tube, right? That goes back, and then what? They have to get into the test tube. How do you get the blood into the test tube? So the test tubes are vacuum sealed, right? So they don't touch the blood. So at the end of the little thin tube here, there's a plastic, like a holder, right? It looks like an inverted cup. It looks like a cup, and you stick the plastic tube in, right? So that has a needle in it, so it can puncture the hole of the test tube. You take the needle out and you disconnect that plastic cup holder, so it's called a vacutainer, and that's what he uses. That's what he uses. So I always heard that Rosh Hashanah Rafael Hirsch was the one who said this was the best thing to do, and if you read this first tshuva, it's not so geschmack. So he's in Mila B'li Mitzitza. He says, so let's see in the second paragraph, Al ze lo echdal mechavos dati aklusha, asher kol aner mavnish nishne bizmanei neged mitzitza hakol dvarim b'teilim. Right? So he says, Hallo Bios Rivas Alpha Israel Yachta Mekedam Halo Sin Salbashama Achasidia Sadani Sign Vinny Milova Mitsitsa Elf Pamios and Milkor Face Mane because Sama Shos Khaimbekar Futsa Samenu. He says when they were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had far more data than we do, because there were many more Jews living together. If there was a Sakana, they would have known about it. Today, wow, we have small communities. You can't draw statistical inferences from small communities. They had far better statistics than we do. Okay, so yes, Logan today he would disagree. Vim Chazal Horunu Yod Bitul Mitzitza Sakana Leil Hanimol Iyav Shar Klal Istapek Mitas Divrayim. Right? And he says, and no one taka held it's dangerous. So he says, if you look in the next paragraph, Achin Mayasem Moel Yirei Elokim Bevo Ish Oev Chadashos Eilav La Mulet Bino Ach But Naish Liyasem Mitzitza. So what should he do if you know he's in Germany, so there's a lot of reform going on. Right? But he won them all. He was Lanistaiti Mutav lo Limshoch his yod of lo Yamulhu. Lo Yavral Divrei Chazal, Shekozer Lahavir Mol Lomayetz. Because better don't do the Mila, let them figure it out on their own. Okay. Fine. Next tshuva, Nunhei. What about a Shfoferish al Schuchis? Not without Mitzitza, using a glass tube. Right? Okay? So he says, it's terrible. We see people not doing it, and it's very bad. He says, next paragraph. Everyone should be happy that they have this tube, because now everyone has any tinnitus anymore. The tube, this glass tube, they're using the glass tube, is geschmack. So he tells you, what is it? Okay, he tells you how to do it. Okay. The next paragraph, he tells you what it is. Okay. And then, okay, and how to do it, and Taka is Mr. Daraisa, and then... Okay, he talks about the statistics again. The next paragraph. Who knows if the sakana happened immediately and happened all the time? Maybe it was 100 years from now, it'll be a sakana to this baby. We don't know. So maybe there's still a sakana. We should still do it. Magam sakana. Fine. Let's look at the two paragraphs down then. Because this is where it gets iffy. Et hatzad ashroferes, right, the using of this tube. We're not suggesting for people who are doing mitzitza properly. People who aren't doing mitzitza. Either because they're afraid of getting sick or the government said no. For them, for those who aren't doing mitzitza, they should do this. He's saying this tube is good for people who aren't doing the right thing. But clearly the right thing is to do bepeh. It's clear from him, the right thing is to do bepeh. If you're insisting not to do mila otherwise, that's terrible. It's terrible, use this. Or even if you don't, just do this, it's better than nothing. That's what it sounds like to me. It's better than nothing, clearly, ideally would be bepeh. Oh, and what about the Chasam Sofer? He says, Yesh mi shehivi b'shem Chasam Sofer, shem b'michtav lahagon Rav Elazar Horowitz, av bezin divina, kasav dilu ha-metitzik b'shvilin eino hechrech, davar ze eino emes, v'u sheker, and he says, it's not true. Okay? So then he has another tiny here, it's very strange. Yesh mi shekasav shem b'komo sh'asru ha-shel ton sa-metitza, someplace the government said no. Yistaku b'milu priya, and Yaliyahu will tell us if it's a sakana or not a sakana. For those, if it's not, it's only a sakana, there's no more sakana, so we'll do it. If it's part of the mitzvah, then we'll go back and do it. Then all these women were kind of the mitzvah. Okay. Not the best svara to wait for Eliyahu to paskin. Fine. So, it sounds like from here, you shouldn't, the tube is b'di'evet. Clearly b'di'evet, right? Clearly better would be b'peh. But, then there's a pashkevil, I guess, someone signing a sign of some sort that they signed, right? He says, talking about the tube again. So if you look at the next page, Shofer, Nismachla, Rabbanim Hagidolim, Rav Michal Khan, Yifold of Rav Israel Helgesheimer, right? Everyone agreed. And he says, and Rav Yitzchak Elchanan agreed, and he agreed. So you look at the next tshuva, and again, to this the Rav Michal Khan, Avez Nefolda, who is the Rabban Hagidolim, who rely on my ignorance, I don't know who he is. But I say, fine. So term sachachti in bni v'gam einu diat prati ad chayoshe hitziya bechta v'shalach malz kvodo fine. Ulam hareini roach chova la'atzni la'habiyat daiti anachretzet. Sha'aleinu lehitztam tzim. Ach v'ra'ak v'an haga shfoferes ha'metzitza bilvad. Uv'masha mutna v'kach v'orach yashir v'hechrechi. We should only use the shfoferes. So I'm going to call this mitzitza. So he thinks it's mitzitza v'peh. The whole time he's calling it mitzitza v'peh. Just mitzitza v'peh v'shfoferes. Right, he thinks you can fulfill mitzitza, so that's why I introduced for the term mitzitza bepeh bishfoferes and mitzitza bepeh bishfasayim. Because according to many of the poskim, according to the Divrei Malkiel and according to Rosh Hashanah Farhersh, it's still mitzitza bepeh. It's just using a tool. It's still bepeh. You're doing it with your mouth. It's just so it's very similar. He says we should only lehitztamtzim. We should minimize and only use this again because we know that he thinks ideally we should be doing bepeh, but he thinks so. He says why. The einay nira kol davar acher, any other option, v'yek shalatzma tova shariyeh, even if it'll be great, kehefsed l'inyan shul neged inyan. It will be a loss. Why? Hakadosh Baruch Hu zika otanu limtzo tikun oto bikashnu kuzman korav. We have a way to get a tikun. Ulamalas kvot haraso nir bimuchat chanet haschus lir shliach with our mitzvah rabba kazu. Written this from Michal Khan. Have a nistapik bezeh. Let's nistapik. Just settle on this. V'nishtadu lahani get the davar ha'echad hazeh l'fimeit hava v'natzenu v'chavet Hashem b'yadenu yatzliach. I think this is a great line, the next line. This is, Al nitein layoter tov liot oivo shel hatov. Let's not let that which is better be the enemy of that which is good. Elo nelech achar divrei chazal sharunu ki enos in mitzvos chavilos chavilos. To me it sounds like he's saying the following. You can disagree. Ideally we should do mitzitz b'peh. From a public policy perspective, it's much better that we should institute the tube, because that way everyone will do it. Enachinami bepe is the yoter tov, but let's not let the yoter tov be the enemy of the tov. This way, if we institute the tube, everyone will do it. If we only insist on bepe, we're fighting a losing battle. Since the tube is fine, it might not be as good, it's fine, let's institute that as public policy. I'm reading this as a public policy statement. Especially his line of Al nitein la yoter tov liot oivo shel hatov, which clearly there is a yoter tov, and if you read the previous tshuva, he's saying we didn't even. I think he's trying to clarify his previous statement, because he said, you know, ideally, I'm not even suggesting this for people who are doing it properly, and here he's saying no, everyone should do it with tov because it's good public policy. That's how I read what he's saying, and you could argue, you could disagree with how I'm reading it, and you can disagree with his point, but I think I'm reading it correctly. So if you're talking about that point, if anyone disagrees with my read. Talk about that, but then you could disagree with the public policy. That's a separate issue. It's hard for us, I guess, to reflect back on what was going on then. But I think that's how he's reading it. Okay. So now, in the time we have left, let's discuss a little bit of science. So this is the Mada part. Okay. So this is from the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, published by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control of the United States. Neonatal herpes simplex virus infection following Jewish ritual circumcisions that included direct orogenital suction, that's Metitza Bepebis Vasayim, New York City, 2000 to 2011. So the history is that from 2000 to 2005, they were case reports of children developing herpes simplex virus, systemic herpes simplex virus, and these children had Metitza Bepe. So the question was, does this cause it or not cause it, right? Okay, so they didn't know. They had five case reports. So they said, five or... I'm off. One's five, one's six. I apologize. There were 11 cases. I apologize. I'm not going to... There were 11 cases. Oh, here it goes. In 2005, there was one that was published after the fight. They had five case reports, and then one came out right after the case. They published the paper, so it was really six. And then they said, the New York City Department of Health said that it's going to be a reportable disease. Up until then, herpes simplex virus was not a reportable disease, meaning if a doctor diagnoses it, doctor diagnoses strep, he doesn't have to inform the Board of Health. But if he diagnoses herpes simplex virus in a child under 60 days of age, any child under 60 days of age will have to be reportable. Right? Because the assumption was that this is happening and it's just not being reported and we're not catching it. So it's underreported in the literature. That's the assumption, right? It's underreported in the literature, and if we make it a mandated reportable disease, we will catch more of this. So from 2006 to 2011, it became a mandated reportable disease, and they had five cases. So, okay, we can think about that for a minute. That means that, A, it wasn't underreported beforehand. Meaning, mandated reporting is supposed to catch this, and there's a way to catch it, because you can monitor the acyclovir. There's a treatment for herpes, acyclovir. And you can monitor the prescriptions for the under 60-day-olds. So in a chinami, you can get around it by writing the prescription for other people. I don't know how often this happened. The point was that we were trying to catch under-reporting, and it didn't happen. Fine. But in a chinami, there are 11 cases from 2000 to 2011. If you look on page 2, you can see the pictures. It's the table with the cases and the year and two children died. Who was the Moel? So they can't tell you who the Moel was. But they're trying, So let's look at these data first. And like I said, you read this a number of times, and a lot of the data seems to me, Lafayette's data, to be weak. So let's look at some of the data. So Moel unknown. So there, if you look at the case in 2003 and 2004, case number 2, 3, and 4 were all by Moel A, right? and case 8 and 10 were by mole X. Right? So they say, well, what's the likelihood of one mole? Herpes simplex virus in children is very unlikely. So let's just see. How many children had herpes simplex virus in New York City in the those years when it was mandated reporting? Right? Not just 11. If you look, sorry, at page 405 on the bottom, surveillance. During the last paragraph on the right, during April 2006 to December 2011, a total of 84 laboratory-confirmed cases of neonatal herpes were reported. 84 in all of New York City. 45 cases were in males, 39 in females. Okay? So it's not just these five children who had it. There were actually 84 children who got neonatal herpes, unfortunately. Fine. So let's just go through their math. So they want to say, well, okay, so out of those 45 males, well, let's see how many children have Mitzitza Bepeh in New York City every year. And if they are overrepresented in those 45, right? Clearly, there are children getting herpes simplex virus, so no relation to Mila at all, because they're a whole bunch of girls, right? How many? 39 girls? Right, so they have no Mila. And most of those 45 boys have no Mila, period. Forget Mitzitza Bepeh. They're not Jewish. They didn't have Mila. Although some non-Jews have Mila, but we don't know. They don't give us the information. So is the Mitzitza Bepeh contingent in New York City overrepresented in that 45? In that number 45. So now, realize we're dealing with really small numbers. Five cases, right? There are five. So they isolated five cases from 2006 to 2011 that were confirmed or probable Mitzitza Bepeh. Now, confirmed or probable because people didn't want to cooperate. One of the cases, at least, that's probable was included in these five. Was a case where the Moel denied doing Mitzitza Bepeh. It's not a Moel who always does Mitzitza Bepeh. He does it most often, but if the family doesn't want to, he doesn't, or if for whatever reason he doesn't, he uses a tube. He passed a lie detector test saying he didn't do it. We all know those aren't 100% reliable, but I don't know what else you want to do. The father said it didn't happen. The son said it didn't happen. There was a man standing by the Mechitza who said it did happen. If you've ever been to a bris, you will probably know that you will not know whether Moel did Mitzitza Bepeh or not Mitzitza Bepeh unless you're standing really, 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 really close, because just bending over to do Mitzitza doesn't necessarily mean. Let's Nachmol. He probably did do Mitzitza Bepeh. He probably didn't. It's unclear completely if he did Mitzitza Bepeh Bisfasai or Mitzitza Bepeh Bisfaferis. If you're standing by the Mechitza, the likelihood of you knowing that is slim to none. I have it on a good word from one of the commissioners at the city that the city no longer believes that case to be true. So now we have 10 instead of 11, but when you've now, it's almost 10% of your sample size, so your statistics are going to be completely off. Anyway, if you look at table 2 on page 407, they want to cheshbon that, well, how many boys were born in New York City between those 5 years? And how many boys had Mitzitza Bepeh in those 5 years? So they come out to a number. If you look at table 2, number of HSV1 or untyped, right? HSV2 is the oral, is the general type, so they're not going to get it from that. They're going to get the oral herpes, right? That's what we're concerned with. So it's 5 who had confirmed or probable, right? Now we know it's really not really 5, it's less than that. And 25 who did unlikely to have had. And so how many children were there? So they estimated, well, we know the birth records of New York City. There are 352,411 births during that time. And they estimated 20,493 children who had Mitzitza Bepeh. Now, how in the world do you estimate how many children had Mitzitza Bepeh? Right? I mean, that's a hard number to find. So they did if you look at page 406 at the top right, to estimate the number of males potentially exposed to direct or general suction each year, first the number of males entering full day or half day kindergarten in Jewish schools in New York City in 2010 was obtained. Because that we have a number for. 6,197. Next, the proportion of those children attending schools that could be considered ultra-Orthodox, Hasidic, and Yeshiva were derived from New York City data, including a national consensus of Jewish day schools. Right? Given the consensus of Jewish day schools, what percentage of those are Hasidic students and Yeshiva students? Nationwide. I'm sorry, New York City data, right? So it's 43% were Hasidic, 29% were Yeshiva. The assumption was 100% of males entering Hasidic schools and 50% of entering Yeshiva schools would have direct or internal suction, yielding an estimated annual population risk of 3,564, multiplied by 5.75, because it was 5 3/4 years, you get to a number of 20,493, right? You follow that? They figured out how many kindergarten kids there are, and that must be how many kids there are born each year. And given that number of kindergarten kids, what percentage are Hasidic and what percentage are Yeshiva? And then 100% of the Hasidim have Mitzitza Bepeh, and 50% of the Yeshiva have Mitzitza Bepeh. That was the assumption. And therefore, how did they get? How did they? Well, what percentage is Hasidic of the based on the population study? right? And therefore they came to a number of how many children likely had it, 20,493 in those 5 3/4 years. And if you look, 5 out of 2493 is a rate per 100,000 is 24.4. And then the base population is 7.1. That's very high. That's a big difference. 7.1 to 24.4 is very, very high. Realize now that if you take one out, though, and you make it into 4 instead of 5, you completely threw off your statistics. Someone pointed out, wait a minute. You did all these estimates, right? We actually know how many kids are in Hasidic and Yeshiva schools. Let's assume you're right. 100% of all the Hasidim had it, and 50% of all the Yeshiva students had it. Which is probably not true. Probably far more than 50% of all the Yeshiva students had it. But let's assume that to be true. Right? We can argue. But let's assume that to be true. We actually know how many students are in those kindergarten classes because we know what schools they're in and we know if they're Yeshiva or Hasidic schools. We don't need to use your population. You don't need to use the percentage data, especially since the Haredi population, especially the Hasidic population, experiencing a population growth. You have far more younger, meaning even between the ages of 1 to 5, you have more now than you did 5 years ago. Right? So we know exactly how many kids. You can count. You just have to sit there and pore over the papers. So someone did it, and instead of getting up a number of 20,493 as a denominator, they got up to 29,000. So it's approximately 50% more. Right? They got approximately 30,000 as a denominator, and so that's also going to throw you, using actually real numbers without any projection. We haven't talked about medicine at all, which is going to completely throw off that number. Fine. The other, just a methodological note, and it will stop here, I guess. Leaving the medicine, whether it's possible or not possible, just this math is off. If you look at table 1, right, they said, well, given that it's so unlikely, what's the likelihood of one mohel being associated with more than one case? Slim to none. Right? So take a look, and case 3 and 4 were twins, right? The mila was done on the same day, one right after another. Whoever infected one child likely infected the second child, right? It doesn't make the mohel any more complicit in this than anybody else. They're twins, so it doesn't really make much of a difference, right, who it was. Whoever it was probably got both of them, because whoever it was probably dealt with both of them. It doesn't make the mohel any more implied. The fact that he's associated with both has no relevance to this whatsoever.
But there's three of them.
Right, so he's associated with another one also. But the fact that these two got it is completely irrelevant. The other horror someone made was, if you look, most of these patients are associated with Hospital C, which is, I'm going to guess, is Maimonides. But that's completely speculation on my part. So someone said, maybe that has to do with the hospital. Because look, all these kids going to the same hospital get it. Alternatively, it's just that population is the one where they were studying this. But okay, so we're not going to blame the hospital. But look at 8 and 10 were also Moel X, were two siblings, one born in 2008, one born in 2011. So this is like a little bit ridiculous, Lefinius Daiti, that even include this data is so mufrach me'elav. If I tell you that a kid comes into school with food poisoning, so what do you think? Can he either be from home or from school, right? A second kid comes into the nurse that same day with food poisoning in the school. So what do you think? Well, something in the school is going on. And even if nobody else comes out with food poisoning, two kids got it in the school, it's probably from the school, right? What's the like? Until I tell you they're brothers and they ate the same thing for dinner last night. Oh, so two brothers who ate the same thing for dinner last night got food poisoning, and no one else in the school got food poisoning. Mohel X is not associated with any other cases of herpes. What's more likely? That the mohel did it, or that something else happened? It's more likely that one of the parents, unfortunately, is transmitting to the, or one of the caregivers, let's leave it at that, is transmitting herpes. It's just statistically far more likely, right? If it's two siblings, just to include that data and not to make that, and not even to be ma'orer that, wait a minute, it's at least a good ha'ara. You might not like the math, but it's a good ha'ara. I think the fact that wasn't included, I think, says something. Other people had issues with how they did the statistics. I don't understand a word of it. A whole statistical derivation to try to prove that the statistical analysis they did, the math that they used to come up with these numbers, is completely the incorrect formulas to be used. Much of it was actually in Greek, because it was Greek characters to try to do math. I have no idea what it means. It may or may not be correct. I have no idea. But such horrors were made that this was not... The study itself was not wonderful. Also, just the fact that the lesions appeared on the Makom Hamila is also not a raya. Because the classic textbook on pediatric infectious disease points out that when a child is going to, so normally, Many of the children who develop herpes as infants get it from the mother, from genital herpes from the mother when they're born. Right? And so where do they develop the lesions? Right? Because they're coming through the birth canal. So they develop it in the places of trauma. They develop it in the creases of the eye, which are, if you've ever seen babies have like little cuts because like, they were closed, they have the creases of the eye. They develop it in places where blood, where blood was taken from, where they had a puncture wound, right? A puncture wound, we drew blood. Or on pace on their scalp, sometimes we place a fetal monitoring like device as well as in the uterus on the scalp, right? The monitor things, and we peel them off and you get a little bit of a trauma, whatever it is, like a little bit of a scratch. That's where they develop, on place of, or in the place of circumcision, because that's also trauma. Meaning the lesions develop in locations of trauma regardless of how the herpes was introduced. So the fact that it developed around the makom hamila says nothing necessarily about the fact that it must have been transmitted through the mila.
So that the trauma was 8 days after birth.
Right. But the claim is... So, yeah, no. But the pediatric textbook is not...
It's not that it's introduced through the makom.
The claim is, one of the claims was that it must have been introduced through the genitalia because you see that's where the lesions were. And that may or may not be true. The point is, regardless of where the herpes was introduced by, you'd see lesions there.
No, I was asking though, like, when it's...
Yeah, so these children most likely did not get herpes from the mothers, right? They got it from somewhere else. We don't know where, right? We don't know where. But regardless of where they got it from, you would have seen lesions in that place.
No, I'm saying that when you... Is the reason that you see lesions in that place because of the trauma? Or because due to the trauma, that's an area now that the herpes can enter the body?
I don't know. No, Emechanami is a place where it can enter, but it's also a place that if it entered elsewhere, it would still be lesions.
Always?
No, it could be. I'm just pointing it's not a raya.
Every single one, though, was in
that. Right, but it's not a raya. The point is it's not a raya.
Wait, but wouldn't it be less likely that every single case would happen?
I don't know. The point is, it's not a raya mechrach. The point was, come on, people. There's lesions on the Evra Zachar. That doesn't necessarily prove anything. That's my only point I'm making. It doesn't necessarily prove anything that it's more likely they came from here, more or less likely. The other issue is the incubation periods. Like every disease you get, every virus, every bacteria has a certain amount of time that it gets into your body until it multiplies enough till you get infected. So for herpes, there are several different theories about the incubation periods. No theory can explain all the cases. No theory can explain all of these cases, depending on what. Not all of them had the meal on the eighth day. Some had it on different days, depending on especially the Hasidic community. They're very, very makbid on jaundice, like sometimes a little bit excessively so. And so a lot of the babies had meals afterwards. And so you can have the other study has an amount of days between the meal and the infection. And no one theory of incubation periods can explain all the cases. So that doesn't prove anything either, but it also doesn't prove anything either. That's just a horror. My point is just saying, nothing here is really mukhrach. Nothing here is really mukhrach, and especially if you knock out some of the cases, we're looking at really, really small numbers. So one case here or there, yeah, we'll make it not statistically significant. If it's not statistically significant, yes, it's terrible that babies under 60 days old are getting herpes. It's terrible. But it happens, and if we're not doing anything to contribute towards it, we certainly should be doing things to fight for it. I mean, my personal opinion is that we should keep monitoring and we should find out, and it's very important to find out if this is actually causing it. I think if I was doing the study, what I would want to do was compare boys who had Metitza Bepebis Fasayim to boys who had Metitza Bepebis Fasayim. That's what study I would do. We don't know anything about the other, meaning there are 45 boys? I keep making that up. 45 boys, right? We only know about 5. I would want to know what the status of the other 40 were. Did they have Mila at all? Maybe it's Mila that causes the problem. Maybe it's not going to be disease. You could have structured the study in a way, perhaps, to find out, if it was I would want to know Mitzvah about Bisphasayim versus Mitzvah about Shofaris. Because if there's no difference, then we really need to think about what is causing this, if it's higher in this population than that population. We have no idea. We have no idea if it's more prevalent in the Mila population to the non-Mila population. I think it's important that we should. I'm advocating finding out. I think we should have as much data on payroll and then say, oh, the level of sakana is X, or there is no level of sakana. Therefore, what should we do? Ask your rabbi what you should do. But we don't have enough. I don't think that this provides us with sufficient data to make a clear cut halachic decision. Unless you think the clear cut halachic decision is there's mishum sakana. So if there's no sakana, meaning if you're willing to just say forget it, just do it. Meaning, first of all, you can if you're okay with using mishum payroll, so then. The assumption is that there's not going to be a problem at all. That's the assumption. So then if you're comfortable doing that, so then do that. If you want to do a dafka bepeh, so now you're a little bit in the bind. Is there a sakana or not a sakana? I don't think this helps out really much with helping you pass on the title.